Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hour two of a Diddy takeover of Offsides with Mark Ryan. I am Diddy, your host on this beautiful Thursday afternoon in the upstate, joined as always by the legendary Lonzo behind the board, making me sound at least loud enough. I don't know if it's good or bad or... keeping the great music, too. I like that. We should do the Scott.
I screwed up.
And I had to point it out.
Yeah, and you were covering for me, but I was completely screwed up.
When I build you up so much at the beginning, I need to bring you back down just a little bit.
As most people have learned, I don't deal with compliments too well. You know.
I'm just going to start firing things off.
Yeah, just disparage. Well, I was actually tweeting something about what we were talking about earlier, okay. About I wonder what this button does. And then I hit a button that I shouldn't have hit.
Oh, you did hit it.
Yes, I did.
So we didn't go off air.
No, I didn't hit that button, but I hit one I shouldn't have hit.
I was intrigued, actually. But we got a lot we're talking about today. Some Twitter polls over on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Give us a call, 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307, starting that message with ESPN, and we will read it on air. We started the show talking a little bit about things I missed, and one of the things I missed continues on today, as yesterday we got the what I call a bogus apology from Mason Rudolph, and now we're getting some information out of an apparent appeals hearing. I don't know how it already came out, but it already came out. Schefter tweeted something about how Garrett has, I guess, alleged that Mason Rudolph used a racial slur, causing the snapping and going nuts by Miles Garrett. So if that's true, I agree. Jason Cole tweeted probably the smartest tweet about this. If true, well, first of all, questioning, was anybody mic'd up? Because those primetime NFL games, people have microphones on, and it could be really fast to find out if he did or did not. Because now, if you're sitting here with this, not only has Garrett said he said something, now Rudolph has I can't even say that word. Gosh, that's just embarrassing. He has strongly denied the fact that he said anything at all. So, if you have a microphone, and we can find this audio... one of them is going to look really, really bad, regardless, because now you're taking it to a whole different level. What I think is interesting, Mike Freeman of, who does he work for now? He's tweeting out Bleacher Report. Garrett issued a written apology to Rudolph. If I'm called a racial slur, I ain't apologizing. Bleep that. I don't speak for all black people, but I don't know a single one who would apologize if they were called that, he's saying.
But here's the thing.
So pretty interesting that it's like such a back and forth.
And this is a touchy topic, and I know I probably shouldn't ask this question, but does that make it okay? Make it okay? Because it doesn't make it okay to me.
No, it doesn't.
There shouldn't be anything that someone could say to you on the football field that would make you do what he did.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of scenarios, too, that can play into this if you think about it, because there were a number of players around during this scrum. So it could have been said, not by Rudolph. You know, we don't know until we find out, I guess, and we may never know. This may be one of those things that ends up being a question mark forever, where people are going to draw their lines of conclusions and say, well, obviously he probably said it because blah, 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 or he didn't because this guy's just trying to get out of being in trouble. So it's going to go both ways forever. But man, that's huge if it comes out as true, especially because of that phony apology yesterday. If he ends up having said something like this to cause this, man, that's going to explode in Mason Rudolph's face like crazy.
You know, after I said what I said, I just happened to look up and see Booger McFarland, who's a friend of the show. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to call him since he was on
a couple
weeks ago. And he is Mark's friend, says this news is really irrelevant. True or not, still doesn't change what Miles Garrett did.
Fair.
He was wrong then and he is wrong now, period. So
fair. But if proven, does the NFL now go back and punish Mason Rudolph?
If they could prove it,
yeah.
then he probably should.
Because I think
suspended.
You still have to punish Garrett for the swinging of the helmet. Really, nothing else Garrett did in this whole situation is being punished except for the swinging of the helmet. The fact that he ripped that helmet off and used it as a weapon against Rudolph is what gained and earned a unlimited, so far, suspension. It's been called 17 different things. It's really suspended forever until we decide an actual amount of games after we have the appeals process. This is really what happened.
But here's the thing. You know, if he said that and it made him so emotional, if Mason Rudolph actually said that, you would think, Garrett, that would have been the first thing
yeah.
he said.
And he was...
And he never mentioned it once.
Very soft-spoken yes. and very reserved and very apologetic, it seemed, after that game. You would, yeah, he would have, not only would he have said it in the scrum with the media after the game, you would have heard him yelling it going off the field. He probably would have been pleading with the refs. Instead, he walked off the field. He took his, you know, his ejection. He went to the locker room and he said his apology and then issued another apology in writing to Mason Rudolph. So it's one of those, like, it's hard to believe, but then again, it is totally possible. But it also, again, it could be something that there were 7-8 people around. And, you know, it's used pretty freely in some ways, and it's wrong in other ways. And if it was from Mason, we got a problem. And if it's the other way, he might have just misheard, I guess. So it could go a lot of different ways from here. And the NFL is going to have to dig into their NFL films capabilities and see what they can find, I guess. Because if he's going to use this as his excuse, which is still, again, I agree with Booger, it's not an excuse for hitting a guy over the head with his own helmet. Maybe losing your temper and the shoving and the pushing and everything else, that was still what you're getting in trouble for. You still took the man's helmet and slammed it on his head. So that is where the punishment stems from. But interesting developments in that coming out kind of constantly right now. Twitter is kind of a buzz over all of this. We're seeing a lot of reactions from people. We're seeing a lot of more information. But again, the big thing, too, it could be misinformation, because sometimes these things come out from these appeals hearings and turns out that was never said in the hearing either. So we'll see if Schefter had good information or not as this goes forward, and we'll find out as far as the NBA or NFL is concerned when they make their final ruling on what this suspension is. But we teased a little bit about more South Carolina talk, so we're going to get to that right now. You know, this, speaking of embarrassing behavior, and what Myles Garrett did, really a lot of what Mason Rudolph did as well, was kind of embarrassing behavior that, you know, happens in the heat of the moment. But in the heat of the moment, you still got to have some kind of restraints in yourself. And that goes hugely for football fans, sports fans as a whole. And we've seen instances all over sports of stupidity from fans and bad behavior at games and bad instances, all the way from the tip top that is known as the Malice in the Palace down to just little scrums between a baseball player and a guy sitting in the left field bleachers. But what we continue to see at South Carolina home games has gotten so bad that you have to have conversations over a week before a rivalry game about not doing it. And it's something that shouldn't be difficult to comprehend that you shouldn't do. The simple rights and wrongs we're taught growing up, this one kind of plays into it. You shouldn't throw things, trash, towels, sodas, beers, whatever else, onto the field of play. That just should be an automatic, hey, that's wrong. But it's gotten to a point now that it's happened so many times. And again, I'm not somebody who's going to say, oh, typical, only Carolina does that, because it's not true, because I have multiple teams I'm fans of that all do it. And I've seen it happen in multiple other venues as well. But it doesn't change the fact that it happens and has happened too often. And we saw it just a couple weeks ago against Florida. And now we're going to have to hear from Muschamp about not throwing things on the field. And it spins out to being even worse, because then you get the Todd Ellis's of the world. Listen, we got a responsibility not to throw things on the field. No question about it. That's where you should stop your comment, because that is the factual comment. Can't throw towels, can't throw water bottles. Okay, that's still good. Want to act with class? Yes, you do. Then he says it's a tough situation. It's an emotional thing. That's not the first place you and I have been that that's happened. Okay, yeah, you're right. But it doesn't change that you did it. You can't keep explaining away bad behavior, because it just leads to more bad behavior. Yeah, but we saw them do it. Doesn't matter. That's not how this works. You take responsibility for your bad actions in life. That's another thing we were taught since we were young. Should have been. And you got to have control in that situation. I told Lonzo during the break, I've sat in that student section. I sat in that student section for far more years than I probably should have. Because I was the Tommy boy of college. Because Van Wilder actually got women. That's why the 7-year college thing.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I get, okay, I'm just trying sure. to. But, you know, Mark Ryan went for 7 years yeah, also. So, yeah. I mean, you guys are.
He's probably Tommy boy too, yeah. Just being honest. But I was in that student section a lot. I was in there for Clemson games. I was in there for 63-17 till the end, every second. It stunk. You know what I never once did because it's dumb and childish and disgusting behavior? Throw things on the field. Because you don't do that for many reasons. It goes beyond just, oh, what if a player steps on it and hurts himself? No. It's about what Todd said before he started excusing it. You want to act with class. You want to show yourself to be a classy organization. As a fan, you're supposed to be fanatical about your team. I get that. That does not give you carte blanche. That doesn't give a guy the right to get into it with a basketball player at a college basketball game. It doesn't give anybody the right to run on the field and start something in any other game. And it doesn't give you the right to throw trash, towels, and anything else onto a field of play because you're mad about a play call, you're mad about a penalty no call, or anything else. Boo, yell, cuss, scream, middle finger, whatever you want to do. Do not throw things. And the fact that we're sitting here over a week before the game and we have to have basically public service announcements from every important person at the University of South Carolina to remind fans to not do something that juvenile is bonkers. Who are we? I excuse a lot of things from college kids, especially the athletes. I excuse some of the behavior of, say, Johnny Manziel when he was at A&M, not the stuff after A&M, when he was at A&M, because he was going to parties. He was doing things that a 20-year-old superstar is going to do when he's got all of that fame. That's what a kid does. But you are old enough when you're in college to know between if you should throw something or not. And you shouldn't. There is never a reason. There is never an excuse, and it's absolutely embarrassing as an alum that the school and the coach have to remind you a week before the game even takes place. That shows that it's happened a lot. That's not just, hey, you guys once did this, we're upset, please don't do it again. That's, hey, guys, this is a reoccurring issue, and it's got to finally stop.
Now, you said you've never thrown anything. I've never thrown anything.
Never.
I'm curious if anyone out there who's listening has. And what was the breaking point? What got you to where that's it, I've got to throw something? And what goes into that is just you just don't think at all. You just, or is it a mass mind thing? One person throws it, and so you think, oh, it's okay, and everybody else throws it too. Because it demeans the school. It makes the school look bad. It makes you look bad. Yeah. And there's just no reason to do it.
Yeah. It's trashy. Literally, you're throwing trash and it is a trashy look.
Yeah, and then someone has to pick all that up.
Yeah.
If you had to pick all that up, you wouldn't be throwing it.
Yeah. If you're one of those people in the yellow jacket standing by the shrubs in front of the student section that has to clean up the whole place afterwards, oh man, are you mad at those guys. You got to run out there during the game, be on national TV picking up trash because these kids are too entitled. It's terrible, man. Don't throw things. Never. I just old manned it, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
I did.
And then some
God,
poor kid is out there going, my dad's on TV, but he's picking up trash. And it's all your fault. You shouldn't have threw it down there.
How dare you? It's just, it's ridiculous. And it's why we have like so many less abilities to do things now. Because when people act stupid, they take your permissions away. That's how life works. When you start doing things, they try to restrict you now. So you're going to get more rules over there, and it's not going to be as fun to go to a football game because you guys are being idiots. So don't be idiots. Be good fans. Be better fans, as I like to say as often as possible. And don't throw any trash on the field next week because, God, it's probably going to be bad. No matter how bad it gets, here's the deal. If we're losing 49-7 at halftime, don't be mad. Go drink. That's what we do in Columbia. That's how it works. Well, speaking of people who played bad a week ago, the Carolina Panthers, they once did show signs of being a possible playoff team. They fought back against the Packers, nearly tied them up in the snow in Lambeau, and then laid an absolute egg at home against the Atlanta Falcons. ESPN Upstate Panthers insider Matt Hogan joins us next to help us figure out what the heck this team actually is on ESPN Upstate.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's get right over to the hot. I wrote headline. Let's get right to the hotline, though, because he's on a hotline, not a headline. We have a lot of headlines to get to later.
If it's hot, I ain't touching it.
Yeah, don't touch it. It's too hot. Get your gloves. We're going to welcome in ESPN Upstate Carolina Panthers insider Matt Hogan. You can give him a follow over on Twitter at @Matt_Hogan and the number 5, @Matt_Hogan5. Matt, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. No problem. Thanks for having me. I was excited to get the call.
Yes, absolutely. Well, as first of all, before we get into the Panthers, we had a question during the break. I think Lon's already asked. You misspelled your name there on your Twitter bio. So is this because you think LSU actually is better than Clemson?
I don't want to get into all who's better than what. It'll all work itself out in the end. I think the road to the college football championship probably is going to have to go through Clemson regardless. So it'll all work itself out. But yeah, I did, as Lonzo said, misspell my name. As instead of H-O-G-A-N, it's H-E-A-U-X-G-A-N.
Well, you've already said something wrong, and it's a shame you just now got on the air, but the road to the national championship goes through Ohio State. I just want to throw that out there. But anyway,
I'll be honest with you. If it's not Clemson, it's Ohio State. But I think you got to give the nod to the defending champs.
Yep.
You know what, almost 30 games in a row now? I think that's the team to knock off.
Absolutely. Well, a team that has not won 30 games in a row is the Carolina Panthers. When you look at this 2019 version of the Panthers, how hard is it to know what to expect from week to week?
That has been a big problem. It's been very inconsistent. We had a 4-week stretch there where we were consistent, and I know everybody wants to talk about Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Allen, and both of those things are valid points. During those 4 games, they played very well. Mm-hmm. But the defense was getting after quarterbacks. They were getting pressure on quarterbacks. I mean, at one point early in the year, this Carolina Panthers defense was leading the league in sacks.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to get the Panthers got to get more pressure on the quarterback. They were able to get pressure on Matt Ryan last week, but he just took 2 steps over and found Julio Jones or Ridley down the sideline. So I think a key for the Panthers is to get that pass rush back together. And also, on the other side, I think they need to protect Kyle Allen more. He's not great at pocket awareness, as we've seen. He fumbles. I think he's had 4 or 5 fumbles. And obviously, the interceptions are starting to come. But he needs a clean pocket to step up and throw. And we got a lot of young guys over at left tackle with Daly and Little getting reps. But, you know, this team is very inconsistent, and it's frustrating to the team as well. I mean, you can hear it in the press conferences. Kyle Allen's disappointed with himself, but huge opportunity to go into New Orleans. Panthers are still, you know, kind of towards the bottom, but they, you know, they kind of control their own destiny. They got everything in front of them if they can win out, but that's a tall task for a Panther team that's been very inconsistent.
Well, speaking of Kyle Allen, you know, as the internet tends to do with just one 60-minute football game, Kyle Allen goes from being the future of the team, the new guy, get rid of Cam, to being done, and Cam needs to get back in a hurry. What really is the future of Kyle Allen, in your opinion, and is he the future of this franchise?
You know, I don't know if he's the future of this franchise, but I do think he has the future in this league. He's done a lot of things right. He's in a tough situation with a young offensive line. But I think a decision ultimately can't be made. And you heard the owner, David Tepper, say this earlier this week. You're not going to see a decision made on Cam or Kyle until we get a chance to see 100% healthy Cam. Because if Cam comes back and he's healthy, he hasn't been healthy, fully healthy in almost 2-3 years now. If he comes back and it's, you know, shades of 2015 Cam, I don't see how you can turn your nose on a guy like that. So this offseason, I think Cam's going to be healthy, and he's going to, you know, do some workouts and throw some footballs, and hopefully for the Panthers fans, I know a lot of Panthers fans are big Cam fans. So I think that's a decision that will come in the offseason, and speculation is unfair to Kyle at this point, because this team's they're up and down winning and losing, so it doesn't help when the media is up and down with them.
Talking Carolina Panthers with Matt Hogan on ESPN Upstate.
So, they lost to Atlanta, but I think people aren't taking into account or looking at what Atlanta has done in the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give Atlanta any credit at all, but Atlanta is actually starting to play good football. So, it wasn't that much of a surprise to me what they did to the Panthers. I didn't like it. After seeing what they did to New Orleans, I mean, there's a chance that this Falcons team has actually turned it around and is really good, and that the Panthers can bounce back this week. So, I mean, it's kind of Kyle Allen had a bad game, the defense had a bad game, but the Falcons had a really, really good game, and I think it's like a mix of both. So I don't want to be too down on the Panthers yet until this week. Let's see what happens this week.
No, absolutely. Dan Quinn, 2 or 3 weeks ago, head coach of the Falcons, he realized he was just doing too much. He was taking on too much responsibility, and he finally released some of that control on the defensive side of the football, and he's got other guys playing, calling the plays, and the Falcons defense has responded incredibly to that. I don't know if you guys play fantasy football, but this has been a team that didn't have an interception all year. I mean, this was not a good defense, both in real life and fantasy football-wise, but they've turned it around these last couple weeks. And I agree with Lonzo. I think it's too little too late for the Falcons, but I think the Falcons are finally starting to look like the team we thought they were going to be in the preseason.
Yeah, it's crazy to think their three wins are the Saints, Panthers, and Eagles. So,
yeah.
And they've lost the rest of them. But with the Panthers, though, you know, you're looking at, obviously, Christian McCaffrey probably not going to get that illustrious 1,000, but he's already over 1,000 yards rushing. How important has he been for this team? And is he really the biggest, you know, asset this team has, even if Cam comes back healthy?
Yeah, he's undeniably their biggest playmaker. That offense, it's not really designed to run through one player. That's what you'll hear Ron Rivera say a lot. But it's clearly heavily tilted in getting Christian McCaffrey the football. They got a couple young running backs that they got out of the draft with Scarlett and Bonifant, and they even signed Mike Davis, former South Carolina guy recently, but those guys don't get touches. Christian McCaffrey is the workhorse, and on Wednesday, usually he's been staying out of practice and trying to get healthy, and this last week, his attitude, I think, is another thing that a lot of people don't realize. He wanted to practice. He has Wednesdays reserved to sit out if he'd like, but he said, no, coach, I want to practice. I want to be with my teammates, and I think a lot of the guys on the offensive side of the ball respond to that.
Matt Hogan joins us on Offsides on ESPN Upstate. Talk some Carolina Panthers. Projecting forward a little bit, I mean, is there really any reason to worry about the security of Ron Rivera right now with the way this season's gone, with the way the last couple have gone since their Super Bowl berth? Is he on any kind of hot seat, or is he kind of secure for a long time?
You know, I'm not sure. I feel like the conversation is starting to get a little warm in the local media here in Charlotte. But Ron has been, you know, he's a staple guy. He's been with this franchise for a long time, and he's provided a lot of stability. And, yeah, they have ups and downs, but, you know, you go look at other teams around the leagues, and it's mostly downs for a lot of these bottom-of-the-half, middle-of-the-pack type teams. And David Tepper, on the other hand, he wants, you know, he says it just the other way, just the other day, he wants to be the best. He wants to be top five in the league at everything that they do. That's his mentality. That's why, you know, so you wonder how this team finishes down the stretch. If they totally implode, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a coaching change. But, I mean, if they run the table and win, you know, 4 to 5 of the next few games and maybe miss the playoffs, but maybe they're a 9 or 8-win team, I think the community likes Ron Rivera. I think the organization likes Ron Rivera. And he's a heck of a football coach. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's brought back unless this team completely implodes down the stretch.
You know, I want to go back to the McCaffrey thing a little bit. So, you know, he decides to practice. And this is a leader move. It definitely is. So do you think this is going to be, I mean, a player that's out there who's playing well but could hit that next level, seeing a guy like McCaffrey out there, you know, working on his day off to get better at his craft, even after a game like what they just had, you think this is the difference between winning and losing a close game?
Absolutely. I think if you go back, I mean, even 2 weeks ago against the Packers, I mean, I know that was a loss to the Panthers, but that team was in it till the end. There was a couple calls that didn't go the Panthers' way all throughout that game. You know, there was obviously a lot of football problems that caused it. I'm not going to put it all on penalties, but the Panthers are a really solid football team. They're just they're having trouble staying consistent, and Kyle really, the team feeds off of how Kyle plays, and Kyle is also, as we know, dependent on that offensive line. If that offensive line can give him time, we have some incredibly talented and young receivers in DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. And those guys need to get involved in this offense for this team to be a legitimate team moving forward, an actual playoff contending team. These guys have got to step up, and they got to help Kyle, and this offensive line's got to step up as well.
All right, projecting forward, everything you've seen, everything you know of this team, you know, they do have pretty tough schedule down the stretch. They have 2 games, including this week, against the Saints, got the Seahawks, the Colts. Is this team capable of making a run and actually bouncing back from that tough loss, being 5-5 and actually sniffing or maybe making the playoffs this year?
You know, even I'm looking at the schedule right now, they got the Saints twice, they got the Seahawks, luckily at home, and they got the Colts, which is a pretty scrappy team, and they got the Falcons again, which, I mean, they just laid the wood on the Panthers last week. Their only shoe-in game, and it is the NFL, so it's not even really a shoe-in game, is in 2 weeks they got a home game against Washington. But let's just say they win all but one of their games to finish out the schedule. That puts them at 10-6. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at the wild card standings right now. You got Minnesota currently at 8-3, and you have Seattle at 8-2. So those are your wild card teams right now. It's going to be really hard to catch them because I don't see either one of those teams or their division leading teams, the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. I don't see those teams completely falling apart. So it's going to be, even if they win out and get to, you know, 10-6, 11-5, it's going to be really difficult to catch the Vikings or the Seahawks right now.
All right, real quick, big prediction for you. What do you see happening this Saturday? Are they going to bounce back and make that stretch run, or are they going to get pummeled again down in New Orleans?
I'm not sure about any stretch run, but I do think New Orleans is, this is a rivalry. This is their biggest rival. I think them or Atlanta, it's kind of up in the air, but I think the atmosphere is going to be great. Kyle Allen, his first start of his career was last year, and he led the Panthers to a win over the Saints. I hope that the Panthers can get it back together, get a little bit of pressure on Breeze. It's going to be tough, though. The Saints are playing incredible football, have been all year, with or without Breeze. Mm-hmm. I think the Saints probably get the edge, and I think the Panthers could potentially lose 3 straight and really be worried and head scratching their heads heading into Washington.
He is Matt Hogan, ESPN Upstate Panthers insider. Again, give him a follow over on Twitter at Matt_Hogan5. And it is spelled H-O-G-A-N on the Twitter handle. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Absolutely, guys. Go Tigers.
Well, some people up here say go Tigers. I don't, but it's a different Tigers, I guess. But we'll talk about college football later. We have some polls to get to, everything else. But right now, I'm going to do something I can't believe I'm going to do. I'm stealing a topic from First Take, and I'm agreeing with Stephen A. Smith. This is a historical day in the history of Diddy, and you're going to hear it live as we continue next on the Diddy Takeover of Offsides on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Get in on the fun of the Diddy Takeover on ESPN Upstate by calling us at 844-477-3776. You can text the text line 71307. Start that message with ESPN or get us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. One response, by the way, to the Gamecock poll of emotion. Is it sadness, anger, apathy, or other? The other voted for by B. Cocky, despair. That's fair. I think I went from despair to apathy. I think despair was my last step, like during the second half of Tennessee, and then apathy settled in at the end of Tennessee. And I, quite literally, while bartending at my brewery I work at, was staring at the App State game throughout the night because we were super dead that night, just emotionless, just watching it happen. Like, I knew it. Yep, this is happening. Like, there was no emotion. None. It was the weirdest. I've never felt that level of apathy. I've had like glimpses with some of my teams because I've liked some bad teams. Sacramento Kings, horrible. And I'm a Gamecock fan, so I'm used to this as well a little bit. But I don't think I've ever turned off like that.
See,
so
I get anger. I definitely do. Because yeah. You were talking about the 63-17 or whatever that was earlier.
Such a bad day.
I was doing a live remote.
Oh, gosh.
Doing a Gamecock show.
Yeah.
And in a sports bar full of Clemson fans. And every touchdown, they just would come up to our table and just smile.
Yep.
That smile, that Clemson smug smile that we do not like to see.
No.
And in the end, we had to give away something to a Clemson fan who won the contest that we were doing while we were there. So I get anger.
Yeah.
The apathy thing, though, man, I don't want to have apathy. I want to be sad. I want to be angry. I want to be happy. I don't want to be like, yeah. Kind of what I
so I don't mean to be story one-upper. I had to go to IHOP with my then-girlfriend and her ex-boyfriend, the Clemson fan, after that game in downtown Columbia. So not only having to, for some reason, be forced to spend time with this guy I don't really like, he's also a Clemson fan, smugly reminding me the entire time we're having our midnight breakfast of the score and what happened and why Gamecocks are terrible and da-da-da-da-da. This is the worst. It was just a bad day. But you know what I didn't do that day? Throw things on the field. It's crazy how that works. But I teased this a little bit. Something crazy happened today.
And you didn't hit him with your helmet.
And did not hit him with my helmet. Didn't have one. He didn't have one for me to rip off either, so who knows? Who knows what would have happened? But I teased a little bit coming into this segment that I have to agree with somebody I don't think I've ever agreed with. I may have agreed with them before, but I don't know. It seems like a rare occurrence. It definitely is the first time I've ever actually seen something by accidentally tuning into First Take and decided I wanted to use that as well. But I have to, because it's just such an asinine situation in my mind that Stephen A. Smith seemed genius when I heard him go off about this. Apparently, former Baltimore Raven, current Los Angeles Ram, he did stop bleeding from the side of his head since that game against the Panthers, but Eric Weddle, he's not going to divulge any information to the Rams that he knows about the Ravens. He says, I could tell them a lot of stuff, but that's just not who I am. So we're going to play it on the field, and the best team is going to win. Garbage. That is garbage. If that's true, I agree with Stephen A. Smith. You're a bad teammate. You're a bad teammate. This isn't cheating. This isn't any kind of illegal or unethical or wrong thing to do.
It's not snitching.
It's not snitching either. You officially are paid millions of dollars, $10.5 million, to play for the Los Angeles Rams in the NFL. You are no longer paid a dime by the Baltimore Ravens. You're saying whatever you want, and you should if you have some information, because guess what? When you're playing safety against Lamar Jackson playing quarterback and you know something in your mind, you're not just going to dismiss that knowledge because, oh, I can't use that thought because that's not fair. You're going to go use that information you know, and you're going to make the play and try to help your team win a football game on the field. So the same is true for telling your teammates. Why can't you tell your coach, hey, man, they like to roll left. Maybe we should, you know, overload that side. It's, trust me, they try to act like they do it back and forth, but it's all left, everything left. And then they do something and beat it. That's called sports. That's how it works. If a pitcher played for the Red Sox, goes to the Yankees and knows the Red Sox hitters, he's not just going to ignore all the information he has compiled about them. He's going to try to strike them out with everything he knows about them. Come on now.
I got to admit, this is the first time I've ever heard of this. I think it's expected that when you go to another team that you're just going to
do
this.
You're going to tell them.
Yeah, and I think you should. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm sorry.
And on First Take, Damian Woody's sitting there, and they asked him, and he smiled and wouldn't answer. He would not admit it. But they said, you went from the Patriots to the Jets. You didn't tell the Jets anything.
Well, I was listening to Golic and Wingo this morning, yeah. And Golic's like, yeah, I told.
Yeah.
I mean, you expect that. And again, this is your new team. This is your new job. You want to stay in said job, so you're going to help. It's not like you're divulging, you know, corporate secrets or something. You just, you know, if this guy does this, he's going to do this. Let all my guys know that so we can take him down. I don't understand.
Like, I don't get the need to try to go that far to prove you're a good dude. Like, you could probably prove you're a good dude without lying to us, because that's lying. That's not a good dude thing to do.
I can tell you, the people, when you're playing your old team, they believe that you told.
They expect you should have. Baseball reference. I'm a catcher. I played for the team before that we're playing. I go out and tell the pitcher everything about this guy coming up. Hey, man, he chases everything down and away. Just keep it down there, baby. We got him. I'm telling you. You're going to find out. That's a joke. Eric Weddle's wrong. But we have a call real quick we're going to get to. Neil wants to talk a little NFL. Neil, welcome to the Diddy Takeover of Offsides.
What's up, Diddy, man? You're doing a good job. Let me talk about NFL. You know, it always trips me out when people talk about Kyle Allen or any quarterback in the NFL, and they don't take into consideration the weapons they have around them. Carolina has nobody at receiver. Their best receiver is a running back, for God's sakes. Now, I'm not saying Kyle Allen should have the starting job. I'm not saying he's the future quarterback. Let me just say that first. But if you take Kyle Allen, from what I've seen, and you put him in Dallas with all the weapons they have right now, people are talking about, oh, look how much Dak has improved. Mm-hmm. Dak has improved because the weapons around him has improved.
Yeah.
He has the best receiving core in football. And he also has one of the best running backs in football. That's why Dak is going off. Put Kyle Allen there, he's going to be top 10 in QBR as well, just like with Tom Brady. Tom Brady's always gotten this kind of a pass because people say, oh, well, he hasn't really had the talent around him. That's false. He's had, first of all, if you take Gronkowski out of the equation, which is why I said he's going to fall off this year, meaning Tom Brady, because he changes the complexion of the defense. You have to double and triple team that big dude. And then any receiver going across the middle, Wes Welker, Amendola, Edelman now, can you know, get your 10 yards for a first down because there's so many guys spying on him.
He ate his phone.
The weapons you have around you. like for example, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He has an unbelievable talent.
Mm.
He has got the strongest, quickest release that I've ever seen, and I've been watching football for almost 40 years. That being said, there's a lot of guys you could put in that offense right now, and they would be throwing for over 300 yards and 3 or 4 touchdowns per game.
Yep.
Only because they have so many weapons. When you see Tyreek Hill come off the field, it changes the complexion of the game.
Yeah.
You can see their offense start to struggle. It is all about the weapons, just like when I say with my boy Jimmy Garoppolo. I've seen things that so far that I don't like. He's making mistakes. He's only played 19 games. But when you take Emmanuel Sanders off the field and you don't have George Kittle on the field already, you're taking away the weapons. No matter who you're playing, if you don't have weapons, it don't matter how great your quarterback is, you can't win in the NFL, and that's the bottom line. Give Kyle Allen a little bit of a break. He had a bad game. Atlanta's played good defense the last 2 weeks. I have no idea where that came from. That's another story for another day. But let's give him some credit. He's done a pretty good job considering what Cam Newton looked like at the beginning of the year. And let's see what he's going to be, you know, the last 5 or 6 games of the year until we make a decision on what Carolina is going to do or what path they should take.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call, Neil. Great stuff there. And, you know, the one thing about the Panthers and the talent, I have to say, is that we were told all summer this was the deepest receiving core Cam Newton has ever played with, including at Auburn. So where are they? What's been going on with that? And I have laughed at everybody jumping back off the ship of Kyle Allen after last week's one horrible game. I mean, he didn't play well in San Francisco either, but they're otherworldly. Everybody plays bad against them. So one big issue, by the way, breaking news right now, really fast. NFL has upheld the discipline to Myles Garrett. So he is suspended indefinitely, and that's just the way it is. And he has to meet with the commissioner to get reinstated, I guess, by next season. And we'll find out more about that as it goes. But that just came through. We'll talk more about that as we move forward. But first, fashion and uniforms have been a huge part of sports for quite some time. The NBA is trying to roll out new uniforms yet again. We'll talk about if they're good and maybe remember some of the worst uniforms in sports history. Next on Offsides.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So I feel like the NBA is one of the only leagues we have that successfully does alternate uniforms, like specialty uniforms. We've seen some really bad ones in all the sports. The MLB probably had the worst ones in the 90s, those futures uniforms that just looked like they were supposed to be some space-aged expectation of the future that was never going to exist, ever. Those looked really bad, even though some of them looked dope when, you know, they had the sleeveless ones and those cats were just all steroided out at that time, so they're all just muscles out, guns out, and it was pretty funny to see. But those were bad, and the NFL's had some really bad color rush ones. A few were good. I like the Patriots one for color rush, but it's basically a slight variation of their normal jersey.
Yeah, there were some that you couldn't hardly look at. It was so bad.
There was one game was the Jags and the Seahawks, I think, and it was like the Jags, whatever fake gold they decided to put on that color rush was the most putrid looking thing I've ever seen. And then the Seahawks were like the Oregon highlighter outfits. And you're like, what are you doing? You know, and even college football, some of these, you know, extreme special uniforms are awful. Some are dope. UCF kills it with their space one every year. Oregon's got some cool ones, but also some awful ones.
Yeah, they do. And I like the military ones.
I love the military. I thought, who wore that? Missouri. I liked Missouri's last week against Florida. I thought that was cool. And I love the Black Magic for Carolina, you know, and I think they've done well to change. But the best league has to be the NBA. I feel like it's rare that there's one that's bad. And the new city jerseys, the city editions for 2019-2020 season have been released. And the Celtics one is not great, but I think the rest of them are pretty awesome, to be honest. As a Sacramento Kings fan, I love the Sactown red jerseys they're wearing out there. Timberwolves is pretty basic. The Bucks probably is my favorite, though, of all of them. The Cream City with the white jerseys, blue and black trim. I think this is killer. I love when the NBA does this stuff, because if you look through NBA uniform history, they're all always pretty cool. Even like when they have weird alternates, or even, I mean, outside of maybe the expansion Raptors and Grizzlies uniforms, I think most NBA uniforms have always been pretty dope.
Except for the Pelicans. Sorry, Pelicans.
Pelicans were bad? You don't like the Pelicans?
Anything, because it's a stupid name.
It's a stupid name.
If you have the name on the jersey, it's
just, they should just be stupid. The King Babies, because the King Babies the better mascot that's at those games.
Anything's better than Pelicans.
First of all, everybody needs a gritty. There just needs to be across-the-board gritties from the NHL. And NHL has been probably one of the worst when it comes to alternate uniforms. There's just been some god-awful things, but I want them to bring back the bear up in Boston. That'd be dope. Just the bear face. I like that one a lot. We're heading into the third hour of the Diddy Takeover here on Offsides. And Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, he thinks we're all idiots. Now baseball writers are starting to sound like idiots by taking some massive leaps to define what the Astros sign-stealing scandal really is. I'll get through it. I'll explain all of that, and I'll explain it clearly next on Offsides with Diddy on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.